Welcome back to the Sports Spectacular. Tony Cordero, producer, sitting in for Larry Smith. Mike Hagley joining me right now. And we have a very special guest to bring on, Mr. Danny Sheridan, one of the most renowned, call him the college football guru, call him whatever you like. The man has been covering, getting insight into college football for longer than any of us care to remember. He got the scoop. He knows the game. He knows everything that's going on. Danny, welcome to the show once again for us.
Always a pleasure, Tony. And I go back to the days when you used to produce us at CNN, me, Hicks, and the crew at CNN on our college football show. And I miss those days and I miss my youth.
Don't we all? Don't we all? We're a little older, but hopefully a little wiser as well in the long run. Danny, let's kind of jump into some of the things happening with the college football playoff and what happened a few weeks ago. In your opinion, do you think that the committee got it right by leaving an undefeated Florida State team out of the playoff?
Well, you see, my question to you and Mike would be, and Larry, if he were here, would be, what does getting it right mean? I was told when they started this, I don't know, in 2014, your job is to pick the best four teams. So my question to you and Mike is, are they supposed to pick the best four teams before I can answer that?
I would say, yeah, that's their job to pick the best four teams. Mike, what would you say?
I agree totally with that. And so being that I'm not a guy who's real tradition bound, I actually had much less issues with the selection as it was than most people did because, you know, Florida State is a different team when they're playing with a backup quarterback.
No, I agree. And they've only gotten it, the committee, they've only gotten it right 1 year. And that was the year they slid Alabama in and Alabama won the national championship. The committee, as you know, I watch the show on ESPN every Tuesday night during the season, and they just make up the rules as they go. They get a great spokesman, this time a gentleman named Boo Corrigan, who I don't know. He did a nice job, and they just double talk. If they make Florida State number three, they go, well, the eye test. If they make so-and-so number three, well, the strength of schedule. So it's just BS every week, cover your ass, and I understand that. I'd do the same thing if I operated under those rules. And what I don't understand, and I wrote a friend of mine, a committee person that you know years ago, and said, you don't have to put me on there, but you need to have a handicapper or an odds maker or someone that can tell you the best four teams. Any idiot can tell you, oh, they won their conference. And to show you how screwed up it is, and you remember this, Penn State beat Ohio State a couple of years ago. They went to the title game, and Ohio State jump Penn State at the end of the year or a few weeks later. That made no sense to me because, again, they beat Ohio State. Penn State didn't have any injuries. Last year, TCU, hey, great season. We all know that TCU is not in the same breath as Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, et cetera, but they had a great season. So did they go undefeated? No. They went to their conference game and got beat. But they're rewarded by putting them in because a Cinderella story. So in other words, you get the drift. It's all a bunch of BS. Back to your question, and I agree with you and Mike, if you pick the best four teams, and it's a rotten shame that Florida State's not in there because this Florida State team is really good with their quarterback. I mean, really good as I'd say they could hold their own with anyone. But the fact that they don't, that the quarterback is injured, if you're picking the best four teams, they did a good job. I think it was last year, they left Alabama out, and it was Alabama fatigue. It didn't make any sense. Alabama beat the hell out of their rival, Auburn, by 20, at least three touchdowns last week of the season. What happened? Ohio State lost to their rival, Michigan, by 22 or 3 points the last week of the season. And Ohio State jumps Alabama and gets in the playoffs. Again, I associate that to Alabama fatigue. But I mentioned that example. If that were Florida State, it'd really be raising some hell. And it's not a fair system. And thank God we're going to 12 teams. You may have some controversy, but not like you would with two teams and especially this college football playoff where you make up the rules to cover your ass every week. Anyway, that's my garrulous answer, Mike and Tony.
Well, Danny, did you think there was a fear of having a CFP without an SEC team that also played heavily into this, because, you know, you look at the number of championships that the SEC has, to leave them out for the first time ever, maybe that was just a bridge too far.
Absolutely. A great point. Greg Sankey, the commissioner, he made the same comment on, not quite that eloquent, but he made the same, made the point on game day. And that was good that he was on. That was the SEC championship game between Georgia and Alabama. And he said it would be, I don't want to quote him, I think he said something like it would be a travesty, or it would be crazy to leave out the SEC champion. Let's see, the SEC champ, off the top of my head, they've won the title the last 3 years in a row, something like 14 out of the last 17. So, yeah, if the SEC champ is, I was going to say 9-3, then you might want to think about it. But in this brutal conference, the SEC, two losses is like an honor badge. I mean, yeah. Hell, one is off the charts. So there's no way in hell. First of all, if you want to pick the best four teams at the end of the year, if I were on the committee, I would say, obviously, Michigan. I would say Alabama. And then I'd stop right there and say, we're talking the best four teams, Georgia and Ohio State. The rest of them, have a nice day. And that's the best four teams, if that's what we're talking about. Maybe not the most deserving teams. Who in the hell cares about deserve? Anyway, that's, I don't know what your final four would be, but that would be my, how they left Georgia out. You know, you think about, no, we made Georgia number one every week, or most every week, the last 6 weeks of the poll. And then they lose a last possession game. The team that has the ball last in that game is going to win. Alabama had it last. And miraculously, on a 3rd-and-7, Milroe scrambled for, I don't know, a first down. They ran the clock out. If they have to punt to Georgia, nothing against Alabama, Georgia's going to win the game. I believe that. And every time Alabama got the damn ball, it just went back and forth. We're talking not 27-0, Mike, Tony. We're talking 27-24, the two best teams in the country at this point of the season, that point of the season. So it was a travesty leaving Georgia out, but it was politically correct to leave Georgia out in the committee's mind.
If we're going to look at, you know, we got this expanded college football playoff system coming in next year. You know, our discussions next year will be between 12 and 13. About who got in. All the major players are going to make it.
Correct.
Do you think, you know, we've been talking about this for 20-something years now, Danny, when we get to this playoff, does that make the bowl system as it stands obsolete? Should the NCAA just say, look, we're going to allow every school to have 15 practices because the bowls are basically obsolete? You're going to have these 12 teams playing, and your bowls are going to start with, you know, team number 13 or 14, and it's going to be a lot of 6-6, just like it is now. Should that era end?
No, I don't think so. The bowls are wonderful for their communities. We have three in Alabama, and they're also wonderful for the FCS teams, like the lower subdivisions, whatever the hell you call them, I guess, FCS, such as Sun Belt Conference, which is
the non-power five. The non-power five.
Non-power five, correct. They're not as, you could argue, they're not as good. Hell, James Madison, they ought to be, that's another subject. They ought to be in a damn bowl game. I don't care if they lost one game. But those conferences, MAC, Conference USA, all of them should have bowls, and they do. And this won't wipe them out. It won't affect them. It might affect, I don't know, Tony, I'm trying to think. I don't know what they're going to do anyway with the format. I mean, so many teams play at home, but bowl games like the one in Memphis and that have SEC tie-ins, about 10 or 11 of them, that might be affected a little. Again, I don't know what the situation, but the bottom line is, to answer your question, bowls are wonderful. We're in a litigious society. The NCAA wouldn't have the guts to pull up. They were so scared about getting sued that they passed a rule. And again, that's sort of like the college football playoff committee. And I approve of the rule. Hey, we don't have enough teams to go around. What do? Let them go in at 5-7. Well, let's make it academically if you're 5-7. So this year, I think Minnesota was 5-7, but academically, whatever the hell formula they use, they were the best team. So it's make the rules up as you go. Bowls should definitely exist. They're a lot of fun. I'm trying to think what they have in Georgia. I don't remember the bowl. I know they had the Peach Bowl, but
just
that's
the Peach Bowl. Yeah, right now, just the Peach Bowl.
That's a college football playoff. But if you go across the country, It's I spoke in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, in October, and they had a bowl, whatever it was. It's a wonderful bowl. It's 4 years old, and they play in Conway, South Carolina, in Coastal Carolina's bowl in their stadium. And again, the community's behind it. Myrtle Beach doesn't need publicity, but it's just it's a great local event. More importantly, the most important reason for the coaches, and you said it, Tony, 15 extra days of practice. You really get screwed if you don't get that extra practice in, and you got your season ends, whatever, November 27th or something. That's very important to the coaches, the schools. Now, the alumni, they like to travel. The kids like to travel, and it's a reward if you're 6-6 or 5-5. It's nice not to sit at home. I say 5-5, 5-7, but I don't think they have any five. Well, they do. One this year, Minnesota. Anyway, it's anybody that would say to get rid of the bowls is wrong. Your point, I can't answer that, how it will affect the Power Five conference bowl games. It might affect them a little bit. I don't know how in the hell the system is going to work. I don't think they do either. I have a general, like you do, a general idea, like six of them will play at home, six conference titles. All I know is it's going to be, I would change the name of bowl season to SEC/Big Ten, because that's who in the hell is going to be in there.
You know, when you look at this year's matchups, you've got Michigan and Alabama, Washington and Texas, two really exciting matchups. How do you look at those two games, you know, from your standpoint? Or what are your expectations? Are there any clear favorites for you?
No, I'd say Alabama, Michigan, real close line. That's like a toss-up. And I'm not so sure that Texas and Washington, they played last year, I don't know, the Sun Bowl or something. I got to look up the score. I don't mean this in the wrong way, but as a handicapper, a paid handicapper, I go day by day. In other words, I couldn't tell you. I know their bowl game starting next week, but I couldn't tell you who they are. But they're four very exciting. They'll do matchups, but they're not the four strongest teams in the country. Yeah, Texas beat Alabama week number two. Texas down the stretch, Mike and Tony, and you know this, Texas should have lost three of their last four games. Houston was like first, and they had fourth and an inch on the 9-yard line, 20-point underdog. Not Texas' fault. They were just flat. And Houston runs a play. They gain maybe half a yard. They need an inch. And the referee marks first down Texas. I mean, you talk about an investigation. I called some of my friends offshore to see if any of those referees bet on the game. That was really horrible. But forget that. TCU, Texas is on their own. And I'd pick TCU plus. I don't remember how many points. But TCU is covering there in the fourth quarter. Texas fell apart in the fourth quarter against Houston. TCU, let's go to Kansas State. I don't get ahead of myself. I pick Kansas State. No chance. Texas beating the hell out of them in half. Texas falls apart the second half. Next thing I know, it's in overtime. This Penn head coach of Kansas State, I'm going to win no matter what. They're down by three in overtime, and he decides on fourth and five, three shots from the five, gets zero, and on fourth and five, he's going to go for the win. He outscored Texas like 3-1 the second half. What the hell is he thinking? And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to win the spread. It's four. But, God, it's just terrible to do. Anyway, it was incomplete. Should have lost that game. Okay, TCU, about a minute and a half to go. TCU has outscored Texas just like Houston did, just like Kansas State did in the fourth quarter. Texas is, I don't know if you saw the game, Texas is on their own 2-yard line, third and a mile. It was more of a shocker to me than Alabama Auburn. Anyway, it's third and 30 or 35. The Texas quarterback drops back on third down. If he doesn't get this first down, which he's not supposed to get, he's got about a 0.9% chance, if that much, of getting it. TCU is going to score. They're down by three, and they're going to win the game or certainly get it in overtime. It's at TCU. He throws a Hail Mary pass. The guy made a sensation about 40 yards down the field on third and 30-something. Anyway, they ran the clock out. But my point is, that counts to me. That doesn't mean Texas is terrible, but you got it. Beating Oklahoma State, that was just a slaughtering. Like, hey, let's impress the frauds that are going to vote on the college football playoffs. When I say frauds, they're good people. They just want to cover their ass. And if we run up the score on Oklahoma State, that'll get us right in. And that's what happened. They do not belong in there. And Alabama does. The winner of Alabama, Georgia, 100%. And as I said, how can you take the number one team that you, the college football bowl committee, voted number one all the way down to the last minute, and they lost a close game, and you're going to relegate them to fifth so they can hold up their hands and go, hey, we're number five. Right. Anyway.
All right, Danny, love it. We're going to have to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Danny some more later on in the show. Stay with us. You're not going to want to miss. We're going to dive into some of this coaching news, some of the coaching moves that are going on out there. So stay with us. We'll be back right after we take a break.
Attention business owners, have you filed for your employee retention credit and been approved? Are you now waiting for your refund check from the IRS? Instead of waiting months to a year plus, how would you like to get your ERC money in about 10 days? Now you can. With ERCMoneyUpfront.com, we help business owners that have filed their employee retention credit and been approved to get their money faster. If you're getting between $75,000 and $5 million, we could get you up to a 70% advance on that money in about 10 days. To learn more about how you can get your ERC money faster, call this number right now. Speak with one of our funding specialists and have a text sent to your cell phone with details.
800-279-0419. 800-279-0419. 800-279-0419. That's 800-279-0419.
This is not a loan product except in California. An offer is not available in the state of Massachusetts.
Are you tired of your website making your business look bad? Is your current web developer dropping the ball? Let's face it, if your website isn't making you money, it's broken. Let Neon Rain create a website that turns your visitors into customers. Neon Rain has worked with hundreds of businesses across North America, building custom websites and applications with modern designs that are easy to update and work well on mobile devices. They can do it for you too. What sets Neon Rain apart? They actually deliver on their promises. Call today for a free consultation, 303-957-3092. That's Neon Rain at 303-957-3092. Or visit them at neonrain.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Spectacular. We're going to go back and continue our talk with Danny Sheridan, the ultimate sports guru. Danny has been following college football for longer than either of us care to mention. And he has the insider, great friends with a lot of the guys inside college football, so he knows what's going on. We're going to dive into some of the coaching news that's been happening. And Danny, I want to start with Texas A&M. We talked to you about a month ago. And the idea was, when we mentioned Texas A&M, you said, there's no way. How can they do it with this buyout? It's $78 million and have it happen, and he's done a good job. What else can you expect of somebody at Texas A&M? And lo and behold, about 2 weeks later, they fired Jimbo Fisher, brought in Mike Elko. What happened at Texas A&M to make that happen?
Well, first of all, my second losing weekend against the point spread occurred on your last show, so thank God I don't have any games to pick today. I'm real superstitious on that. I had a really good lucky year, but to answer your question was, I called some people that know, and this is after probably a week after your show, Tony, and they told me, and I was like shocked. And first of all, I can't imagine that kind of money, but they basically said, we're tired. I made the comment. I said, you know, Jimbo's a good coach. Unbelievable recruiter. Hell, he beat Alabama, upset him, the first guy to do that 2 years ago. Next year, he's a 23-point underdog, lost to Alabama on the last play of the game. Almost beat him this year. Alabama's the gold standard. Georgia and Alabama are the gold standards, more so Alabama. So why would you ever think about firing him? And he's really right to the point. Money, he told me, money does not matter. Okay, tell me why you think about firing him. Because we're tired of losing 4 to 5 games a year, and we're going to pull the trigger in about a week because we don't want to lose, because we think he's going to lose to LSU. And I think they beat somebody, New Mexico, somebody, you know, home. But we don't want to put a situation, and this is, well, I'll tell you, he told me, whether right or wrong, if he should upset LSU, we don't want to have to keep him. And that's why they made the decision. We want to get rid of him now because we're tired of losing 4 or 5 games. We're not going to throw any benefits for him because he's going to get about $70 million over so many years. And that's what happened. Does it make sense? Well, I guess if your big thing in life is you don't want to lose 4 or 5 games, and you have a crystal ball and know that he's going to lose 4 or 5 games throughout his career, I guess it's a good move. I wouldn't have fired him. I'd give him another year.
Well, Danny, I had an interesting thought on that because, you know, if you're going to fire a guy who's got a national title, and maybe I'm just going to use a name, but, you know, bring in an Urban Meyer who's won multiple national titles, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I'm not saying that Mike Elko is not a fine football coach because he can win at Duke, which is, you know, a testament to his competence.
Right.
But I'm not certain that I buy into the fact that, you know, you really improved things. You get a guy who hasn't ever really played at that level, and now you expect him to tangle with Kirby Smart and Nick Saban and come out on top all the time. That seems a little crazy.
Well, I would say this, Mike. He tangled with Clemson and Florida State and Miami, who are improving teams. I could argue maybe Georgia Tech, and maybe it's a step up, but he's a damn good coach. But back to what you said, I would never hire Meyer. He's got so much baggage. And
right.
That's another story. I'd spend 20 minutes on him, but I would never consider someone like that. And he couldn't win anywhere unless he inherited a good team, which is what he's always done in his four jobs, and improved that team and inherited a great team. Elko's a good hire. And again, if your mentality is, hey, I'm a billionaire and I'm tired of getting my ass beat four or five times a year, we want to be 12-0, 11-1, no worse than 10-2. So we're going to pull the trigger. I said, well, how do you know that's not going to happen? Well, it hadn't happened so far. I said, but there are a lot of great recruits in place, and you have an unlimited budget, which I might add, you'll exceed in this portal, and you can buy players, and he's a good coach. We've had enough. Okay. Hey, the good, like he said, you don't have to, don't feel sorry for Jimbo. You're not going to have to. I personally think he's a good guy and a good coach, but like the guy said, don't feel sorry for him. We're not going to have to throw any benefits. We're going to throw about 70 something million dollars. I wish somebody would fire me for that. I wish Tony had fired me and paid me maybe $1 million. I'd have been happy.
Well, Jimbo, you know, I reached out to him, but he was not willing to adopt me. So I tried.
Good try. It's worth a try. Worst he could tell you is no. You want to talk about Harbaugh, or am I ahead of myself?
Yeah, let's dive into Jim Harbaugh a little bit. You know, there's been rumors about him getting an extension at Michigan. There's thoughts he might leave for the pros. You know, he was suspended for half the Michigan season this year for a couple of different reasons. You know, the latest being the sign stealing scandal. Is Jim Harbaugh going to remain a college football coach, or is his next move the NFL?
Well, first of all, let me go back. They would give him an extension in a New York heartbeat. He's a very good recruiter. He's really elevated the program. I think I tweeted in August, Tony, he's definitely gone. Big if, not a hedge, but an if he gets a pro job. Why? Because, number one, this is best team. I don't care if he wins the national championship or if he loses the first round. He's history if he gets a pro offer. And you could say, well, he's tired of the NCAA. Well, sure he is, but that's not the reason. He wants to coach in the pro. And the main reason, I can't tell you my sources, the main reason is, look at his team. This is a hell of a football team. A lot of potential pro athletes. Next year, it's a rebuilding year, and he's leaving the cupboard bare. It's not his fault. And he's got a good assistant, several good assistants. They might take over, but hell, I wouldn't want to take over because now Ohio State's going to kick your ass unless you have some unbelievable recruiting in the portal. But that's the main reason. Two reasons. Most importantly, he's not going to suffer losing Ohio State. He's quitting at a great time, and he wants to coach in the pros. And again, look at the schedule. I think, I don't know the starting 22, but hell, I bet most of them are seniors. And that, and if they're not seniors and they're juniors, they're going to turn pro. And I don't fault him for that. They hired him to build a program, took a little bit longer than they like. They now have a better program than Ohio State, but that's going to change next year, whether he's the coach or not. His agent has been putting out feelers to pro teams. And remember, he didn't contact the pro teams. You know how that goes. I never spoke to Tony. Oh, really? Just my agent. Anyway, they've been putting out feelers, and he's got, you know, two or three pro teams in mind. And if they offer him a job, he's going to leave like you and I would leave if we hit the $1 billion lottery.
You know, when that happens, does Michigan do what Michigan does, try to go internally? Or, you know, I mean, I would think they could get the pick of the litter across the country. What do you think they would do if you
That's
were in
That's a great the- question. Harbaugh would want him to, I can't think of the gentleman's name, the offensive or defensive coordinator that coached the last three games. He's very articulate. He's a very good recruiter. I would think he would get the job. But yeah, you're going to have a faction that says, hey, he's great. Let's bring in another coach. And then you get in the situation, well, if we bring another coach, he may fire all the assistants. It's not going to be pretty. I would think the simplest, easiest transition would be to elevate the gentleman who is the head coach. Yep. Against Ohio State, did a nice job. It's not fun. You need to have your head coach there. And again, he's a very good recruiter, a very good coach. Give him a nice 5-year salary. And if they get mad with him and he doesn't win, and I don't see Bear Bryant and Newt Rockne couldn't win next year if they're losing everybody. I think they're losing. And then if they decide to get rid of him, hell, he hadn't got Jimbo Fisher money, but he's in good shape. And he may fool everybody wrong and get the transfer portal like Michigan State did a few years ago to beat Michigan and get that great running back, which got that coach a $90 million contract, and he got fired for something else. But that's another story. He's gone. Trust me. Not even remotely close. Doesn't matter what the pros offer him. If he gets offered the job by the Raiders or, hell, you know the teams. There are two or three out there I can't think of.
Yeah, we keep thinking the Chicago Bears with the fact they've got the first pick, and they might even have the fifth or sixth pick to put together. And, of course, he's a former quarterback up there.
No, they will, and I would think he would be a natural fit. And if I'm Jim Harbaugh, you don't have to be smart. Just what you just said, my God, I get two first-round picks in the top 6, 7, or 8, 10. I mean, that's wonderful. And it's not like Chicago's got this terrible team. They have some really talented players. They're just not as good as they should be. And, yeah, if he stays, I mean, you talk about a major upset. The only way he stays is if, for whatever reason, if the Bears, the Raiders, and there's one more team, Mike, I can't remember that his agent contacted, but if they say, no, we're not interested, yeah, then, okay, then he'll stay. Begrudgingly, we'll stay.
Yeah.
Danny, last question before we let you go. Were you shocked that Chip Kelly was retained at UCLA?
No. I think he's done, he hasn't done well there, but got a good young quarterback. And no, I'm not shocked about that at all. It didn't surprise me. And you can always fire him next year if you decide. And before I forget, handicapping these games, Tony, the opt out where they opt out, it's just brutal. Like here, I thought Ohio State going to make their plan. I forget who the hell they're playing, but I can't remember. But all of a sudden, Ohio State, the quarterback is gone. Last year, which helped me as a handicapper, I was going to pick Kansas State because I was sure Bryce Young and Will Anderson, they're going to leave. Number one draft choice, number three, they stayed. Well, that told me they're going to beat the hell out of Kansas State. But this opt-out ought to be against the rules. But then again, the NCAA has caused all these problems by not dealing with the NIL, and that's why they get sued and they wouldn't step in. But opt-out is really a problem, not just for me. Forget me. It's a problem for the fans, the alumni, the coaches, the schools, and it's not right. You get a scholarship and you're going to opt out for one game.
Well, Ohio State's playing Missouri down here in Dallas in the Cotton Bowl, and it really almost comes to the point where you have to be an Ohio State, practically a booster with all the guys who are transferring and then going to the pros. It's almost like a JV game to see the next year's team, how they're going to look. Maybe.
No, it's not fair. And like Florida State, they're playing Georgia. And the question is, a handicapper, if I'm Florida State, I'm going to play my butt off and I'm going to show the committee. But if I'm Georgia, you could do the other side. Hey, I'm pissed off that I'm number 5. I want to show them they made a mistake. But I personally think the edge goes to Florida State, the emotional edge. And back to what you said, it's not fair. I'd say you have to pay your scholarship back if you opt out. That's what I do for starters. I'm sure somebody would let them sue you. By the time the suit comes to K, they'll still have to pay you with interest. No jury would die. That's a fair thing. You have no right. You certainly have a right. It's America, but it's just not morally right. And I wish it were legally right. Nothing against the players. Just not fair. I mean, these schools spend a ton of money. Now there's NIL, all the money you make, and you could go on and on. Not forget the scholarship. Scholarship's a drop in the bucket compared to this NIL money. I wish they only had NIL money when I was on CNN for people on CNN that are lucky handicappers.
I give it all to Nick Charles.
Yeah. Or Fred Hickman.
Bill McPhail would have paid you handsomely for that. Danny, as always, love the conversation, love the insight, love the talk. Wish you and your family a happy Hanukkah, happy Merry Christmas. Enjoy the holidays. Have a wonderful new year. We will definitely be in touch. when the calendar turns to 2024.
All right. Same with you and Mike and Larry. Missed him and look forward to next year. And it's really going to be interesting. I can't wait till they decide. Maybe they already have this 12-team playoff, but I have other things to worry about. Take care. Be well. Merry Christmas to both, all three of you.
Thanks, Danny.
Take care, Danny. Appreciate it. There's more coming on the show. We will be back right after a brief timeout.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as a dollar a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-613-8053. 800-613-8053. 800-613-8053. That's 800-613-8053.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-816-4492. 800-816-4492. That's 800-816-4492.